We need something. And the beauty of that is that it's not our righteousness, it's not our holiness. In our brokenness, God gives us His righteousness and His holiness. Before we open the Word of God, let's invite His presence once again to be here. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and your watch care over your holy word as it has come down to us through the ages. Bless us now as we open it. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us to your truth this morning. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles. We're almost done with this series on the book of Ephesians. I know I could probably spend many more months going through it, but I'm saving something for another time. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to look at the first couple of verses. But before we get there, how many of you have heard the term love? You know what love is? This is how we hear it. I love chocolate. And then I turn to my wife and I say, I love you. So apparently, Jennifer and chocolate are on the same level. Now, I love my new motorcycle. It's not so new anymore. You know, I've had it a month and a half, and it has 3,800 miles on it. I don't know who's been driving it. So now chocolate, my wife, and my motorcycle are all, I love them. Have we so overused certain words? I mean, there's only one place to use the word awesome. Now, had it been available on a license plate, it would be on the back of my motorcycle, but it wasn't. So, I'm here to tell you there's only one place that the word awesome should be used. And it isn't for even divinity, chocolate. It is for the only divine being. God is awesome. Everything else is just everything else. Love. That word has been so misused and overused because we can love somebody today and hate them tomorrow. And if you're a teenager, you can love somebody this morning and hate them by this afternoon. And then you can be back in love with them by the evening. Is that love? The Bible says God is love. Now, does He change His mind every few minutes? And when He says in His Bible that God loves me, He loves you, does He mean He loves that as much as He loves even mangoes? Now, mangoes are pretty good. I like mangoes. There's several different varieties. But my favorite fruit, It has risen to the top, is called sugarloaf pineapple. Any of you ever had sugarloaf pineapple? I want to give you an opportunity to experience the greatest fruit on earth. If you'll go with me to Ghana, West Africa, this coming July, I will give you all the sugarloaf pineapple you can possibly eat. The reason why I love it is because I love pineapple. But if you eat a lot of pineapple, what happens to your mouth? It gets raw. Except for when you eat sugarloaf pineapple. They've somehow gotten rid of all the acid in it. Now, I really, really like sugarloaf pineapple. But I love my wife. And I love my God. Those are the only real places I can use that term. Because if I love something as God loved, what did His love compel Him to do for me? Die. Brought His Son. I'm not willing to die for even sugarloaf pineapple. I'm certainly not willing to die for my motorcycle. And I don't plan to die on my motorcycle. Love. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, starting with verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, what do children do with their parents? I was walking in the mall one day, and I had my oldest daughter, Carrie. At the time, she had just started walking, a few months. And I was walking down the mall, getting a little bit of exercise, and I watched people coming towards me, and they got this big smile on their face. And as they passed me by, they would continue looking at me as I went by. And I thought, you know, am I all dressed? Has something happened that I'm not aware of? And as I was walking down the mall, I had my hands behind my back, and I was doing this. And I was just taking in the sights of the mall. And people watched me do that long enough, I thought, something's got to be up. And so I stopped, and I turned around, and there was Carrie. Hands behind her back, just walking along with Dad. She was imitating me. Now, I learned this from my father, who said he couldn't wait for me to become a father because I didn't always understand why I needed to be disciplined. He said, I can't wait till you have children, and you have to discipline them for something you see in yourself that you do not like. Parents, have you ever had to do that? Your children imitate you. Now, I don't want to compare children on this level, but you know, monkey see, monkey do. And as a parent, you can say, don't do what I do what I say. And your children are going to imitate you. God says here in Ephesians chapter 1, be imitators of Michael Jordan. Now, as much as I can bounce a basketball, there's no way any of you are going to be confused if you watch me play basketball and get me confused with Michael Jordan. There's no way. Be imitators of God as children. If you had no other text in the Bible but that, is that enough? Does that say it all? Now, the rest of the Bible tells me what God is like and what he's done. Be imitators of God as children. Parents, if you want your children to be wonderful, productive citizens, you have to be wonderful, productive citizens. One of the books I have liked to read over the years is a book called Gifted Hands. Any of you guys read that book? It's the story of Dr. Ben Carson. A young black man on the wrong side of the tracks in the wrong part of town. Single mother. Grew up to be one of the world famous neurosurgeons of all time. His mother required him to read a book a week and give her a full book report on what he had read. He didn't find out until he was well into medical school that his mother could not read. I don't know how he learned to read. I mean, I learned to read from my mother. He said, had he known, he would have been tempted to cheat on his written book reports. But watching his mother work hard, never call in sick, just go to work day in, day out to put food on the table and shelter over his head, he learned to imitate his mother in hard work. And it took hard work for him to become one of the world's greatest neurosurgeons. He was the first doctor to successfully divide Siamese twins joined at the head. That's the caliber of a surgeon he's become. Head of surgery at Johns Hopkins University. A Seventh-day Adventist surgeon. With a dedicated Seventh-day Adventist mother who imitated the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. And her son is not only a fine doctor today, he is a fine preacher. Gives Bible studies to his patients and watches them learn to love and know Jesus. Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. I don't know about you, but if you go back into the Old Testament and you look into the sacrificial system, the only way I can compare that today is maybe the smell of a barbecue. Now, Jennifer, my wife, growing up, barbecues were family events. They were wonderful childhood memories for her. And when she smells a barbecue, she thinks back on those wonderful family events. Me, on the other hand, I was raised a vegetarian. And when I smell dead burning flesh that's been ripped off the bones of an animal who didn't want to part with it, it's almost nauseating to me. And so I can't imagine a sweet-smelling aroma going up to God of all these sacrifices that have ever been given. What does he really want? He wants the sacrifice of a life lived for him, imitating him here on this earth. That is a sweet-smelling aroma. Have you seen that in action lately? I have a friend. I told you about him. He's a biker. If he were to come in here this morning, some of you might be a little bit nervous. And the reason why I say that is because he visited another church that I pastored. He got there early for prayer meeting one night. I showed up and there was a couple of little old ladies of mine, members, sitting in their cars with their windows up, and they were waiting for me to come. Now, I wasn't late, but these little ladies got there early. They wanted to do something in the fellowship hall, but they wouldn't get out of their cars because Jack was standing there. He looks terrible. He looks mean. He was the head deacon of my other church that I pastored at the time. But he's done some pretty awful things in his life, and he tries to repay all of that debt, even though he knows he's been forgiven by God. He tries to give back to his fellow humans in the best way he can. And so he stops and he helps people alongside the road when they'll let him. He is being an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. One little lady wouldn't even roll down her window. She said, "Go away." He says, "Ma'am, I'm a mechanic. I can help you." "Leave me alone." He said, "Will you roll down your window just a little bit?" "What for?" "So I can at least pray with you before I leave." Imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we to imitate? That's the beauty of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of those books ends with this. If everything was written down, what Jesus had done and said, there's not room enough in the world. Be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He demonstrated the love of God for people by wherever he went, he took care of their needs. How does that work for us? Imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm driving down the freeway. I see somebody broken down. I take my cell phone. I dial 911 and say, "There's somebody along the freeway. Could you send help?" Is that an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes and no.
He didn't have a cell phone. Didn't need it. Here's a good one. A friend of yours who you love is having a bad week, and they start to tell you about it. You say, "You know what? I'll pray for you." What does that generally mean? I'm really busy. I'll take it up at another time if I remember it. Is that what Jesus did? Jesus took his disciples away from the crowds to spend some quality time with them, to get some rest, and the crowds followed him. What did he do? Would you please stay away? No. He taught them. And when it was all said and done, he turned to his disciples and said, "Feed them. If you can. If you have faith." He didn't quite say that, but I know that was in his mind. Because the disciples' response was, "How are we supposed to feed all these people? We only have a little bit of money." Jesus demonstrated his love to us by coming and becoming one of us. How do we imitate that every day? I don't know what you can do to imitate God. That's really up to you to discover in your personal relationship with him. As that develops, God will tell you how to imitate him. And I can't say, well, if you'll do this, this, and this, then you're going to be imitating God, because each of us are different. God has given us different talents and different gifts and different ways of doing things with people. Just go be an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, just that verse right there, is all we really need to be God-like. If you have to, look that word imitator up in the dictionary. You'll have numerous ideas on what that means. But I heard it this morning demonstrated on a children's radio program. This family has taken in a young girl who really has no clue about Christianity, and she's learning from the Morrisons about Christianity. And she's struggling with a person at school who has not treated her very well. And so she's going to be mean right back to them. And Mother Morrison says, "Have you ever heard of the Golden Rule?" "No. Is it a way of measuring gold?" "No." "Is it made out of gold?" "No." And she explains that the Golden Rule is what? Treat others as you want them to treat you. And so she starts talking about the Golden Ruler. And she puts that into practice with this person that hasn't treated her well, and eventually she becomes friends with them. She sees this person, this boy on the playground. He's fallen, he's hurt himself, and he's crying, and everybody's laughing at him. And she walks over and sits down by him, and she sees that he has a big splinter in his finger. She takes his other hand and leads him off to the nurse to get help. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's really being Christ-like. Coming up alongside somebody else and just treating them the way you want to be treated. Be imitators of God as children. Now, I don't think you're going to go walking around with your hands behind your back like this. It's carried it. But you're going to be doing something that you see from your personal involvement of finding out who God is, and then putting that into practice with his help into your daily life. One of the greatest things could be said about you and me is what was said about the disciples. When they saw everything that they did after Jesus was raised from the dead, went back to heaven, sent these men out to do his work in his absence, what was said about them? Truly, they must have been with Jesus because of what they said and what they did. Be imitators of God.